I don't want to make it about me, but why don't we make it about me for a minute? The thing about me is, got a little range now. Got a little range. Talked to a Hall of Famer from NASCAR yesterday, Jeff Gordon. Great conversation. Going to talk to another future Hall of Famer, but from the NHL, Steven Stamkos. And that's coming up in 20 minutes. So what I'm saying to you is, got a little range here. All right, telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. Speaking of Hall of Famers, Jared Allen is a finalist for the NFL Hall of Fame. Has been the last couple of years, did not get in. They're not going to keep making you a finalist and not put you in at some point. He'll get in. Sooner than later, I would imagine. Either way, great to get caught up with Jared Allen. I did the interview yesterday, so I know it's a must-listen. Make sure you look for that. Episode 252. Listen, that's premium content. I do it every single Wednesday. It's free. It's free. All you have to do is subscribe, and then that pod finds you, and you get free, long-form, premium content. Not doing it for my health. You should listen to it. It's good stuff. And especially Jared. Jared's great. Jared's energy is just off the charts. Great dude about all the right stuff. So look for that. Episode 252. And yes, there will be a reinvention project episode with Jim Rome. I'll probably push that out on Friday. Trying to get to that too. So lots to get to before next week, which is the week prior to Super Bowl coverage. And then you've got the AFC Championship and the NFC Championship this weekend. And Jim Rome's big head bets. So the head and I, James Kelly, and Pro Football Doc are going to break down what we think is going to happen this weekend. James Kelly and I both went 3-1 against the spread, picking different games last weekend. So do what you want. Mock us, clown us, fade us, or get down and celebrate with us. It's entirely up to you. I plan on making more money this weekend. Man, getting paid's fun. Being right is fun. And then if we're wrong, you can clown us or fade us. Or at least if you're wrong, or I'm wrong, and we're wrong, we can commiserate together. There is some community in this whole thing. That's what I like about playing those games. Just gamble responsibly. Don't bet what you can't afford to lose. But if you're responsible about it, it's fun. There is community. It's not like the way it used to be back in the day when you were kind of a degenerate in your basement, doing it alone. It is a shared thing now. That's my pitch for it. All right, so really quickly, I've got Steven Stamkos coming up. I want to talk about the Lakers, something I've not done for quite some time. Now, earlier in the week, I did ask the question, is there anything in life better than the Dallas Cowboys? And the answer is still no, there's not. And there probably won't be anytime soon. Not as long as Jera is running that show. But if there's something in the conversation, it's the Lake Show. The Lake Show is in that conversation because, much like the Cowboys, they're in that same category of gifts that never stop giving. They're also in the same category as one of the most valuable teams in all of sports. The Cowboys, the Lakers, both team content. Now, the Lakers do occasionally win now. I cannot take that away from them. They have improved. They're a little better. They just don't win anything big. Not this year, not last year, and definitely not last night. Because last night, alleged big bro got curb stomped by alleged little bro yet again. Which is kind of hard to believe. Like, just step back for a minute. For so long, the Clippers were such an embarrassment. You know, little bro who just got his ass kicked by big bro over and over and over again. Little bro wanted to hang around, and big bro is saying, man, beat it. You are so bad for my look. You're so embarrassing. Man, get the hell out of here. Get the hell out of here before I kick your ass again. So let me say this again. And for the longest time, this has been a Laker town. The thing is, it hasn't been that way for a while. Like, it might still be a Laker town in perception and perspective, but the Clippers absolutely own the Lakers. They just do. I'm not sure there's another team in all pro sports that's as dominant against anybody as the Clippers have been against the Lakers. rivalry. There is no rivalry here. And it's not because Big Bro keeps beating them down. It's the opposite. Last night made it 10 in a row for the Clips over the Brick Show. That dates all the way back to opening night in the bubble in Orlando 2.5 years ago. That really is the last time the Lakers beat the Clippers. And if you want to start the clock at the clock at the beginning of the 13 season, check this number. I want to correct this number. The Clippers have beaten the Lakers, according to my count, 31 times in the last 38 games. Rivalry. 31 times in their last 38 tries against their so-called big bro. But the Lakers had a chance last night to stop the bleeding, at least for one night, because they got a career shooting performance out of LeCap, LeFib,
me,
LeGM. He went wild last night. And to give it to this old guy, man, he's been wilding all season long. Guy's been amazing. LeGM pumped in 46. And more importantly, this guy made 9 of 14 shots from beyond the arc. Let's face it, he himself said it. We're not exactly a bunch of lasers out here, himself included. This guy made 9. That gave him the most threes in any game in his entire career. Arguably the GOAT. And he's never made 9 threes before last night. Nobody has ever made more threes in a game over the age of 35. Yet, LeCap did last night. And they still lost. Man, how many good nights, amazing nights, geriatric, legendary nights are they going to waste from this guy? They're wasting a year of this guy's life. Not only did they lose, they checked the hell out. They were in garbage time. They checked their starters out with more than 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Let me repeat that. The Lakers get 46, including 9 trays from LeCap last night, and they still find themselves on the wrong end of garbage time against Lil Bro, who had already beaten them 9 straight times. So needless to say, not a whole lot has changed for the purple and gold Titanic since the last time we checked in with them. That's why I don't check in with them anymore. Nothing changes. That ship is still cracked in half, and it's not going to glue itself back together. LeGM is still bawling out and still screaming, and it still doesn't matter. That ship's going down either way. That ship is going to hit the bottom of the ocean either way. I don't even care about the trade they just made. I mean, they're trying, I guess. At least Rob Lopelenka is still rearranging the deck chairs. Earlier this week, he did send Kendrick Nunn and a couple of first rounders. Second round picks, I should say. Because that's been the whole thing, right? They're not going to part with first rounders. And in return, they get Rui Hachimura. Yesterday, he told the media, Rob Lopelenka, that the Lake Show does remain a championship or bust organization.
Yeah, I think the calculus for the Lakers is to win a championship or not. There's no in between or incremental growth. So as we analyze opportunities, we have to do it through that lens. And I said this at the beginning of the season, if there's an opportunity to get all the way to the end and win a championship, there's no resource we'll hold on to if we feel like that's there. But at the same time, the completely unwise thing to do would be to shoot a bullet early and then not have it later when you have a better championship move you could make. So that's a really delicate calculus, and it's something that the entire front office, you know, we evaluate with all the moves.
I think my man's hoping to just put us all to sleep so we don't react and we forget the question. Dude, I don't think it takes somebody to be a teacher of AP calculus or even a student of advanced mathematics to calculate, or with one of those crazy fancy calculators with all those buttons that you have no idea what they're for. We don't need any of that to calculate that the Lakers aren't going to win crap this year. And that's not advanced calculus. That's basic common sense. The only math you need here is basic arithmetic. As in, until you add street clothes Davis back into the equation, there is nothing to see here at all. And even after he does come back, there still won't be very much to see. But maybe AD will give them a chance to beat their new big brothers in their last chance this season, come April at the Crypt. Circle that down your calendar. The Crypt may as well just be renamed Clippers House. I mean, for so long, they got mocked so hard for being the other tenant. They're the landlord, man. They're the owner of that Crypt. Because they do own the Lakers. They own the home of the Lakers. I'm telling you, there was a time when a win over the Clippers was automatic for the Lakers. Not some urban myth. It's true. That really did used to happen. The Lakers would clock in, beat down the Clippers with whoever they had. Regardless, clock in, clock out, wash, rinse, repeat, hit the clubs. If the Clippers actually did beat the Lakers ever, it would lead SportsCenter. Every local news broadcast in this town would preempt the normal news with headline. This just into the newsroom, the Clippers actually beat the Lakers. They would interrupt programming.
What?
You know, normally sports would come in right after the weather report with Dallas storms or Seattle rains. Not on those rare occasions. Hell no. I mean, that was a thing. I mean it. Like, right to the top of the newscast. You want calculus, Rob? Let me give you some calculus. I'll give you some math. Zero people are shocked that you got boat raced by the Clippers on one of LeCap's best nights ever. Zero.
Point.
Less than zero. The needle doesn't even move. The only thing that moved in SoCal was that 4.2 quake in SoCal in Malibu last night. I'm assuming that the PCH did not slide into the ocean because we would have led the show with that. Scary though, man. There's some really expensive real estate down there. Broad Beach did not slide down the coast. That's the sound of LeBron. LeBron was asked how it felt to pump in 9 threes and still losing garbage time to hated little bro. This is what he had to say. LeBron, when told that nobody had ever pumped in 9 threes over the age of 35, and he just did, and they still got blown out, was asked how that felt. LeBron, when asked how it felt to know that millions of people worldwide started vomiting all over themselves during Space Jam 2, had this to say in response. The more things change, the more they stay exactly the same. My man, you're riding first class. Far you had to jump off that boat.
It's not like you're
get one of the rafts, dude. It's for you. Everybody else in coach can wait until you and your fam are in the raft. You know how that goes. LeBron, his fam, then women, then children, then coach. When we come back, Tampa Bay Lightning Center, Steven Stamkos joins us. We are talking hockey on the other side. Can't wait. Small business owners, do you want to know the secret to navigating the ERC, Employee Retention Credit? Then trust in Omega Accounting Solutions to help you recover any payroll tax overpayments that you made during the pandemic. This is still a thing. You still have time, and you may still be eligible to receive up to $26,000 per employee if you continued to pay employee wages during COVID. Listen, I know that I share this with you all the time, but have you taken advantage of it? It's a free 10-minute ERC consultation. It is the most important telephone call you ever make. I know companies that have made a lot of money doing this. It's a 10-minute phone call. And the date from onboarding to filing is only a month. and CPAs and payroll companies even turn to Omega for ERC tax guidance because nobody is better. They're that good, they're that knowledgeable, and they're that efficient. You can count on Omega every step of the way to take advantage of this exclusive small business tax credit. And I want to be clear about that too. It's a tax credit. It's not a loan. If you're due that money, you get that money. It's a credit, not a loan. If you have any specific ERC questions, call Omega Accounting Solutions at 800-704-2000 or go to OmegaTaxCredits.com before the filing window closes or the funds run out.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome, and I'm fired up for this. Not only are we talking hockey, which always fires me up, we are talking to a center for the Tampa Bay Lightning. He is a two-time Stanley Cup champ. He is a seven-time All-Star. He is a two-time NHL leader in goals. He was the first overall pick in the 08 NHL draft. 24 goals on the year, 31 assists. Tampa, currently fifth in the East. And the Lightning are going to play host to the NHL-leading Bruins tomorrow night. Steven Stamkos is my guest. Steven, it's great to have you on. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me on today.
It's great to have you on today. So you did it. You're now a member of the 500 Club. Listen, I understand that you're not done yet, but that is pretty exclusive, and it's a pretty awesome club to be in. My guy Ray Ferraro said it best, I think. It's rarefied air. What's it feel like to be a member of that incredible fraternity?
It feels pretty surreal, to be honest with you. I was trying not to let it weigh in on me a little bit as I got close to 500. I went in a little slump there, and I was getting asked about it every day. And when I finally scored that 500th, it was kind of celebration and just a release of some of the anxiety that comes around that. You knew it was coming, you didn't know when, but it's certainly been an amazing experience to share with everyone that's helped me get here. And like you said, it's a pretty exclusive club. And when you take a second to sit back and realize some of the names that are in there, I mean, there's legends of the game. So it's pretty cool.
Steven Stamkos joining us. I'll tell you what's even more exclusive. What's incredible is, you're right, there are some legends of the game. Only 47 players in the history of the game have scored 500 or more. But of that group, only eight had a hat trick on their 500 nights, something you did. Of these eight, maybe you've heard of a couple of these dudes. Jean Beliveau, Gretz, Mario, Mess, Hulley, Jager, Matt Sundin, and you. I mean, that's incredible. What's it sound like to hear your name in that group?
That's amazing. I mean, I grew up idolizing a lot of those players that you mentioned. So to be on that list was pretty cool. It was kind of funny. When I got to 500th, I'd had a ton of chances the couple games before. I couldn't score, and after the 500th, I kind of joked with the guys that, okay, they're going to start coming now, because as soon as you get that 500th, you're just playing the game. You're reacting. It's kind of out of your head a little bit, and I've scored a few after that, so it's been nice to see the puck go in the net.
I think that makes sense. Steven, what about number 500? Like, you've never had trouble finding the back of the net. That's never been an issue. But can you take us through number 500? What did you see, and then how nice was it to get number 500 in the fashion you did? In other words, nothing cheap or fluky about that one.
Well, it was funny because the game before, a couple games before in St. Louis, Kucherov gave me a great play. I had literally an open net. They had pulled the goalie, and I completely whiffed on the puck. And that night, I remember going back thinking, okay, I guess you really don't want to score your 500th on an empty netter, as mad as I was. And it worked out. Killorn made an unbelievable play, probably one of the nicest plays he's made in his career, to get around the defender in Vancouver, and I pretty much had an open net to tap it in. But it was nice to do it on a really nice play with the goalie in the net. I did it in, if you weren't going to do it at home, to do it in a Canadian city too, where the fans actually gave me a standing ovation there after. They really appreciated that feat. So as a player, that's something that you remember for a long time when you have a reception like that. not in your home rink, it's pretty rare and it's pretty special.
Steven Stamkos joining us. I'm glad you brought that up. I was going to say, obviously, you would love to get it at home, but I thought it was really, really nice. A great gesture that the fans in Vancouver, who obviously know, gave you that standing ovation. How much more special is it knowing what you've had to overcome in the way of adversity and injury in recent years to get to this, and not only to get to this point and this milestone, but to actually level up and even raise your game up?
Yeah, it's something I'm extremely proud of. I mean, you realize injuries are part of the sport and it comes with the territory, but I've had some really severe ones, some fluky ones, some frustrating ones, and you know, there's just that fire and desire to prove people wrong that maybe think that, you know, you were done or you couldn't improve or couldn't get better. So to get back to that, you know, level that I knew I was at pre, you know, injury was something I take a lot of pride in. Obviously, the people who have supported me from day one, you know, your friends, your family, most importantly, but even the training staff, all the people that have worked with you, you know, your teammates, your coaches who have believed in you. I mean, it's satisfying for them too. And that's great that you can share some of these moments with them because they know what you've gone through in some of the tougher times with the injuries. And it's certainly great to see how they respond to this as well.
Steven, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but probably there was no shortage of people doubting whether you can make it back. Maybe even some people in your own organization. I would imagine there were some dark times where maybe there were days where you yourself wondered, like, Not that everybody's gone through that, but everybody's going through something. I want to ask you, how did you do it? Like, what was your mindset during the toughest times, and how were you able to come all the way back?
Well, I mean, it's not like you're sitting there every day thinking, you know, you're going to get back to that level. There are tough times. I mean, we're all human. You have some of those negative thoughts sometimes, some of those days where you don't feel like going in for rehab or you don't think it's going to be worth it, but I think it is. It helps you when you're surrounded by people who believe in you and push you. And I think, you know, I have two young boys now, and it changes your perspective on life pretty quick when you have young children. You know, they mean the world to you, and you're really their role model. They see what you do. And even when they're young, I mean, they want to emulate you, and you just want to be the best person you can. And part of that is kind of showing them, you know, what hard work and dedication can do and how you can be successful in whatever aspect in life. So I think that threw a new perspective on things for me too, and it's been fantastic.
Steven Stamkos is joining us for a few more moments. Very clearly, when you lay it out like that, it's clear that you are way more than just a great, great goal scorer. I'm curious, how much pride do you take in the fact that you've got that C on your sweater, and then what's it mean to be recognized as truly one of the great captains and leaders that the sport has seen?
Well, that means a lot to me. It's something that I've grown into over my years here in Tampa. I've been surrounded by some amazing leaders, and you just try to pick little things from each guy as you progress. But the moment you get that C on your jersey, you know, it's real. All eyes are on you. And that's something I learned at a young age when I had a guy like, you know, Marty St. Louis as a captain in Tampa, was whether you were in the gym or you were doing media or you were, you know, in practice, everyone is watching what the captain is doing, and you need to set a standard and you need to be accountable. You just can't speak the words. You need to go out and do it yourself. And to this day, to our Stanley Cup run last year, I've always constantly tried to improve in those areas. And like I said, I've been fortunate to play with some amazing leaders, but it's one of the greatest things that you can have thrown upon as an individual is to be trusted to be a leader. And it's something that I certainly don't take lightly, and to this day, still trying to get better.
Yeah, Steven, I actually love that conversation. I don't think that a lot of sports fans really understand the magnitude of what it means to wear that C on that sweater and be in that room. For instance, we always talk about the importance of being a franchise quarterback and how it's what you said, right? It's not just being the guy that plays best on the biggest stage or the first guy in or the last guy out, or the fact that all eyes are on you. There's something really, really unique about being a captain in the NHL, and it's always been that way. And I'm glad that you brought that up and shared that. Before you go, I mentioned that 47 guys are in that club, the 500-goal club, but only 23 have done it with one team. What does that represent to you? And then how much more special is it knowing that you did it with this organization?
Yeah, that was very special. I knew when I signed my last contract that that was the intention, was to hopefully finish my career with one team. Not many guys in sports today get an opportunity to do that. I think in the last 10, 15 years, we've seen a lot more, really good players that are jumping around and on teams in different sports. And I think hockey is just one of those sports where I know for me, you know, loyalty is a big thing. You know, Tampa trusted me in taking me first overall in 2008 to help turn things around. And I've seen some of the dark days, and that's what kind of motivates you to see the great days, to see the glory days. And to say I've been through all that with one organization is very special. You want to see things through as an athlete, and hopefully there's more glory days. We've had an unbelievable run the past 5-6 years here in Tampa, but that was something that was important to me, and certainly important to my family with how we've been treated here in Tampa. And we certainly can't picture ourselves anywhere else. Hopefully there's a lot more hockey to be played. I'm feeling great, and certainly very important and pretty special to do it with one team.
Yeah, it's been an incredible run. I could walk off on that, but I've got one bonus question for you, because you mentioned you were taken first overall. It's true. Like, when you were taken first overall, obviously you were an extremely gifted scorer and a sniper. Guys would talk about, like, when you shot the puck, it just sounded different. Like, it came off the stick differently. It just sounded differently. Everybody knew you were going to be an absolutely prolific scorer. You could have been that and only that and had an amazing career and been a star in the league, but why was it so critical for you to develop every aspect of your game and become such a dedicated and committed two-way player?
Well, I think that's something as you mature as a player, like you mentioned, you come in this league as a high pick. There's expectations, obviously, but you're used to scoring and getting those points, and you don't realize how hard it is to not only do that, but to win. As a little kid growing up, you dreamt of one thing, and that was winning the Stanley Cup. Until you get some of that experience, you don't realize how hard it is to actually get there. And it takes time to mature as a player and as a person to realize how hard it is that you have to work within your team to achieve that dream. And I always bring up Marty St. Louis as a guy who was a mentor of mine, who he was the one that taught me how to be a pro. And that wasn't just on the ice, that was away from the ice, that was in the gym watching video, all those things that you maybe don't realize as an 18, 19, 20 year old kid playing in the best league in the world, just having fun. So it takes a while to gain that process and that thinking. And like I said, it's paid off the last couple of years. I think even as a team, we went through some really tough times, and that hardened us a little bit. And now we rely on those experiences when we get to the playoffs. So, listen, it's amazing to score goals and to get points. Everyone wants that. But at the end of the day, you ask any player, they trade all that for championships. And we've been fortunate to have a couple here. And those are the most amazing memories that you have as an athlete.
You bet. And I know you're not done yet. I know you're still pushing. I love hearing you talk about Marty St. Louis. I haven't talked to him in a couple of years. I always love talking to him. What a great dude. What a great player. What a great leader.
Yeah.
And I know they'll be talking about you the same way you talk about him. He is a two-time Stanley Cup champ. He made it to the 500 club. I think, Steve, one day we'll be talking about the 600 club, but I know one day at a time, one goal at a time. Listen, great to have you on the show. I really, really appreciate that conversation, and really nice to have you, Steven. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
That was fun. Steven Stamkos. Yeah, I mean, truly one of the all-time great captains and leaders. Arguably the greatest player in franchise history. Future Hall of Famer, like all the accolades, all the good stuff. And I mean, obviously a class act. But somebody who overcame so much injury and adversity and kind of like just weird injuries, devastating injuries, moved to the wing. People thought he would not make it back, and he did, and with a vengeance. Like, that's a really, really good get and a good book and a great conversation. And it's great to talk hockey. Love it. Dare I say, the stammer.
I love when you talk hockey.
You know, I don't know that Steven's ever been on the program. I'm trying to rack my brain and look at my records. So that was great. You can see why he's absolutely beloved and universally respected around the game. Bella, or anybody else, if you want to react to it, where else are you going to get quality hockey talk like that in the mainstream? After quality NASCAR talk the day before in the mainstream. Like I said, yo, homeboy's got some range. Homeboy's got some range, but this guy does not. This guy might be my favorite bad taker on the program. Guess who that might be? Who is my favorite current bad taker? I'll give you a hint. He sent this. Shaquille Romneal. The Lakers have lost 10 in a row to the Clippers. We always lose to the Clippers, too. Let me reread that to really give it proper justice. Shaquille Romneal. The Lakers have lost 10 in a row to the Clippers. We always lose to the Clippers, too. Signed, LaBald and Ritz Hairlines.
Just corny.
V in the fee. So why not chase a really bad take with an even worse war? War Russell Dressbrick taking care of the basketball like Jewel takes care of her teeth. Like I said, he's my favorite bad taker. Like almost seemingly it doesn't matter how bad his takes are, I still like the guy. You know why? And by the way, V, did you find my iPad Pro in Mexico? Anyway, V is my favorite. What do I mean by that? He's my favorite bad taker. His takes generally suck, but I still like him. Why would I like somebody with terrible takes? Even I can't explain it. I like his energy. I like his energy. I like his enthusiasm. I like his loyalty. I like that he's relentless in a positive way. Not in a D-bag sort of way, but in a positive way. You know, they're just some people you like. I like him. I mean, V, dude, can you imagine how much I'd like you if you had a good take once in a while? But then again, what does it matter? I like you anyway. All right, we'll take a break, and then we will come back. Oh, look who's here. V in the fee. He's on hold. I didn't even know it. He actually did have a pretty good take the other day when he called for the firing of Ed Donatell, and then he did get fired like a day later. Like, V's getting dudes fired. Good thing he's on my side. All right, then. My thanks to Stephen Stamkos. That was fun. That was a great, great conversation. When we come back. No? What's it to you? Calling all small business owners who paid employee wages during COVID. You may have overpaid on your payroll taxes, and therefore, you are eligible to receive a refund of up to $26,000. Let me reiterate. These are companies that have 5 to 500 employees. Do the math. 5 to 500 times 26 grand. You might want to make that call. Call Omega Accounting Solutions at 800-704-2000. 800-704-2000. Or go to OmegaTaxCredits.com. I do believe I owe you a sports update. So glad the ATP is back. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Dear Pimp, a friend and I were having lunch in the 818. He is a gaucho. We are listeners from way back in the day. Neither one of us seems to know the etymology of irate. Where did that come from anyway? Manny in L.A. Interesting. Do you mean irate the guy or irate the word or both? I don't know exactly who hit Iray with Iray, but it kind of goes like this. Like, Iray is a Jamaican word, right? Or a Jamaican saying. And if I'm not mistaken, it means like, everything's all right. Everything's fine. Everything's Iray. It's all good. I think that back in the day, somebody made the association Jamaican, Iray, Bud. Jamaican, Iray, Chronic. Jamaican, Iray, the hippie lettuce. Keep in mind, it wasn't legal way back then when I hit the scene in the early 90s. So back then, it was like this guy, this stoner, would call the program and he became Iray Craig. I think probably he started as Craig in Long Beach, maybe like, Rami, brah. Let's talk about the Dodgers and horse racing. And then somebody inevitably, me or somebody else, glossed him Iray Craig. So there you have it. That's the meaning of the word Iray and how that got to be his handle, his gloss, Iray Craig.
The Iray Craig at yahoo.com.
Or this. Like Stucknut went with this. Iray, marijuana or marijuana user. From a variant pronunciation of Caribbean expression meaning all right, how's it going, or goodbye, used by Iray Craig to describe his mood. Reportedly, the original name for a Amerindian? Name for Trinidad? Nut, you're talking out your ass here. What are you doing? What are you, the Urban Dictionary? Are you the Nut Dictionary? Are you the Texas Dictionary? What are you doing with this, dude? That's from the Stucknut Smactionary. Hi, Jim. If you've got a good rapport with a guest, do conversations ever continue off air via text or otherwise? Thanks, Bell B in Calgary. Interesting. So, Bell, let me explain this. The answer to the question, first of all, is sometimes, rarely. I don't really generally pursue it. Sometimes a guest will go back to our bookers and say, so-and-so would like Jim's phone number. The team will say that. Is that okay? Or an email address. And the answer is always yes, no matter what they want it for, yes. If they come on the show, they're entitled to that, no matter what it is. They're happy, they're unhappy, yes. Now, I will say back in the day, when I worked on 690 AM, guests would be on hold, and I would frequently walk around into the studio, the control room, and pick up the guest before going on the air and say to the guest, whoever it was, hey, yo, Jim Rome, hey, listen, thanks so much for doing this. I really appreciate you. Or sometimes the guest would stay on hold and say to the board operator, he or she wants to talk to you during the commercial break. That literally was a thing back in the day. Not so much now. But yeah, Bella, on occasion, somebody will want to continue a conversation. Or, you know, because of social, if I follow them or they follow me, there's a lot of instant messaging if we want to. Romy, I know you watch what you eat during the week and watch the carbs. Besides the pantry, what do you like to indulge in on the weekends? Brian and Erie. Fact of the matter is, dude, the office is where I spend most of my time. / the pantry. Jake Rome hit me with that last week. Yo, I see you going back in your office. I'm like, touche, Junior. I'm more of a sugar guy than a salt guy. I'm more of a weekend liquor guy than a salt or sugar guy. And the liquor is a gateway to very poor choices. I've tried to work on that. I'm not going to lie. So what do I get into? I'm more of a dessert guy. If we go out and I have a pop or a pop and a half responsibly, I may find my way to dessert, but not nearly as much as I used to. It's Super Bowl season, man. It's cut season. Logan Rome is in bulk season, and the old man is in cut season. Like this conversation we had, remember at the end of the year when we went to Mexico? I was just gripping all the way home like, damn, I do not want to get on that scale. I do not want to get on that scale. I don't even want to know how much weight I put on. Rogan Loam was actually saying, man, I do not want to get on that scale. I do not want to see how much weight I've lost. This is the conversation we have. I'm tripping about how much weight that I've gained on vacation, and my high school senior is tripping about how much weight he lost on vacation. And the guy can eat whatever he wants on vacation, but can't load up the way he normally does or hit the weight room the way he normally does. And we both were pissed when we got home. He lost weight. How do you lose weight on vacation? Like, he lost 5 and I gained 5. And we both were pissed. Yimmy, is there a dump button for Jim Rome's Big Head Bets podcast? Or has anything ever needed to be edited in post? Patrick. I mean, dude, are you for real? The whole point of that podcast is there is no dump button. We can do and say whatever we want. That's the whole point of Jim Rome's Big Head Bets. We don't dump anything. We don't edit anything. Have you ever heard it? Have you ever heard the podcast? Have you ever heard the four-letter bombs? Have you ever heard how badly James Kelly butchers the language? If we wanted to clean it up, we would. And by the way, Alvin's just not having it. Alvin's like, dude, it's done. I'm not doing anything for this. If we had to clean, quote, clean it up, it would take Alvin another month per episode. No, dude. The only thing more ridiculous than that question is, Jimmy Jim, what is your favorite variety of Lunchables? Brent in PC. Brent, I'm going to ask you the same thing I just asked Patrick. Are you for real? Dude, do I look like I'm 8 years old? My favorite variety of Lunchables. That's like asking me, yo, dude, do you still sleep in a race car bed? What is your favorite lunchbox? Batman or Superman? No, Brent, I don't eat Lunchables, dude. I'm 58, not 8. Hey, Jimmy, what's your favorite Capri Sun flavor? Hey, Jimmy, what's your favorite Cap'n Crunch? Come on, Brent. Stop being a troll. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. They're close, they're convenient, they're known for guaranteed everyday low prices, and excellent customer service from the professional parts people you know you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. See you, we're out.